Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Alan Pittman, Assistant Secretary for Human Resources and Administration and Chief Human Capital Officer at the VA. Also joining us in our conversation is Solly Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Alan, we often talk with our guests about the pending retirement wave in government and the type of impact that this will have on their operations. What are you seeing within the VA, and what plans are in place to mitigate its possible effects?
This is one of the most important areas that not only VA but also the government needs to respond to, and respond to very quickly. Director Springer of the Office of Personnel Management uses a phrase, the retirement tsunami, and I think that's a pretty good graphic, as a matter of fact, when you start talking about retirement. At the VA, which is in parallel to the rest of the agencies, but speaking about VA, we actually have 60% of our employee workforce that is eligible to retire within the next 5 years, not 10 years. In doing an analysis in reference to where they're at as far as their retirements are concerned, they being the employees, we've done two things. One is we've started a program of actually asking the employees, which is part of succession planning. It really surprises me when I first came on. I said, has anybody ever asked the employee when they have an expectation of retirement? And it's not illegal to do so. And the reason behind that is anyone can apply for retirement. They have to fill out an application actually to retire. They can actually pull that application any time they want to, even though they've said they're going to retire. But from a planning perspective, you need to understand that. What's even more important, not only from a planning perspective, is also understanding the intellectual institutional knowledge that they have. They maintain a lot of information that's not written down anywhere, and that's absolutely necessary that we try and transition that knowledge base to someone else. And the way that we're trying to approach it is actually multifaceted. What we're looking at and doing an analysis, which was the first part of what I was starting to answer a moment ago, is we were looking at those eligible to retire from an age perspective, when is it they will retire based upon tendencies. If you look back over the years and look at the individuals that hold certain positions, you'll see that the higher the level, the shorter the time they will have as far as an age perspective. They may retire at 55. They may retire at 58, depending upon the number of years in combination. But you'll find, for example, senior executives. They normally do not go to age 65. Our senior executives typically go right at age 59 and a half. And the rationale behind that is they have their high threes. But if you look at that, that's when an individual, an executive, I happen to be 59, just for your information, I know that I have a lot of years left. You may not think so, but I do. And you're at your peak. So why, in fact, shouldn't we work harder on trying to retain those individuals? How can we retain those individuals? Not just plan for future replacement of the individuals through succession planning, but why can't we, from a legislation standpoint, why can't we retain without impacting their high threes, an individual by moving them into another slot parallel for a year or 2 year period to be able to transfer that institutional knowledge they have and also to mentor their replacements and et cetera. That's an example of what we're trying to do. The other aspect as far as succession planning is concerned also, the federal government has a tendency of really spending a lot of time on workforce planning. It's been an exceptional tool for the last 2 to 3 years. But it's now time to move to succession planning. Director Springer actually has taken this under her objectives and strategies. But we at VA started that process. Part of what we need is automation, if you recall, because we need to have a learning management system that catches the skills inventory of each individual, not only their skills but also their education licensures, to be able to create a database so we can, at that point, develop a gap analysis in reference to where their skills and what our experiences and professional knowledge are in reference to where we're going from a VA perspective. The federal government typically does strategic planning on a 5-year basis. We're moving to a 10-year plan. There's nothing that you can accomplish in a 5-year period. So why don't you look further out, look out further and see what your lines of business are going to be, what your technologies are going to be, what skill sets are necessary to support those lines of business, and start looking not only internally through a gap analysis and developing those competencies through leadership development programs and or skill development programs to be able to support the lines of business into the future, to also to sit down and review the strategic plan on an annual basis. Right now, there's legislation out there that you have to review your plan every 2 years. Well, typically, an agency or a department will take that plan off the shelf every 2 years, dust it off, enhance it, put it back on the shelf. It needs to be a living document to where you're looking at it every year and determining that if your lines of business that have been identified into the future have changed, you need to revise your strategies, which means you revise your skill sets necessary to support them. So one of the things we need to do is to develop a career pathing programs. VA does an exceptional job, and I'm serious, an exceptional job for the highest levels of leadership. That includes the Senior Executive Service. Then we have a program that's called the Senior Executive Career Development Program, which actually is a feeder program into the Senior Executive Service. We also have another program called the Leadership VA. That Leadership VA is actually the first executive level. It's usually a GS 13, 14, and 15 level development program that's a feeder into the SCS CDP, which feeds into the SCS program. However, the void is this. We don't have anything universally across the VA for the GS 3s through 12s. How do you create the pools of talent? How do you create the developed pools of talent in order to succeed? And the succession plan itself identifies positions based upon not only skill sets but also careers. We have a tendency of recruiting. When we recruit for future purposes, we don't really recruit for the future. What we're recruiting is for now, for the vacancy. We're changing our recruitment strategies. Our recruitment strategies are for the future, based upon the skill sets necessary to support the strategies of the future and also technologies and the lines of business. So when we go out and recruit, we actually are offering a career based upon a need for the VA, not a vacancy.
I want to go back to some of the earlier comments that you made about the certainly the size of the VA and its geographic dispersion. I'm curious, how does the VA evaluate HR field performance as well as impart some of these best practices to the HR community? And what steps are you taking to ensure that the policies and procedures are documented and communicated in a timely and comprehensible manner?
Well, it's twofold. Again, when I came on board and did an assessment, I asked, first of all, do we have a human resource information system? That system is absolutely crucial to anyone that is in the profession of human resources. Why? For example, when you're talking about field audits, you can do system audits if you have a human resource information system. It will save you a ton of time to ensure that you have compliance to various policies, to include, for example, veterans' preference on the hiring process. So a system that we will have on board over the course of the next 2 to 3 years maximum will be on board to allow us to do that. In the meantime, I looked at also, again, what OPM was requiring us to do to go green. And by the way, we have gone green. We went green approximately 6 months ago. So we are the largest federal agency that has a green status at the current time. And part of that process and what we needed to do is to create an accountability organization. An accountability organization functions like an audit organization that comes out of human resources. So it's a manual process, and what we do is we started out with just one individual in there. We now have 11 staff that's in the accountability office. That's how important it is to our organization and also one of the most important strategies we've done to ensure compliance. I think that you know that, first of all, we're Veterans Affairs. So therefore, one of our most and greatest priorities that we ought to have is hiring of veterans. And as you well know, there's veterans' preference from a legal perspective that needs to be complied with. We are the second largest department behind the Department of Defense with a 30% of employment being veterans. And we absolutely believe in the merit system to begin with. I'm a strong supporter of the merit system, which surprised me when I came on board coming from the private sector. However, I'm a firm believer that that needs to be there and to be maintained. And the other aspect of it, too, is any preferences that we have as far as legislation is concerned needs to be followed, too. Disability, age, whatever it might be, needs to be followed. So this accountability organization has been absolutely crucial. What it does, it checks every aspect, every function of human resources, not only from a recruiting standpoint, but from a classification standpoint, compensation, disciplinary actions. It ensures compliance. Unfortunately, being the size that we are, 235,000 employees and the dispersion that we have geographically as far as our locations are concerned, needless to say, it is a little bit difficult when you have a staff of 11. What we are doing, though, is we're now training up the field staff, field human resources organizations, coming out of each one of our administrations. That's Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefit Administration, and National Cemetery Administration, their human resources staff, to function as a team with us. So we're taking an integrated team approach. Those individuals that come from field operations will not be auditing their own facilities or even in their own administration, but therefore will have more capability to be able to do that. That's how we do it currently. We're anticipating automation, though, that will help us as far as system audits.
Alan, you had mentioned that some changes that you had put into place to focus on the recruitment process. Maybe you could elaborate in a little bit more detail. And on a related matter, does the VA use flexible compensation strategies to attract and retain quality talent?
To answer your question in reference to flexibility, the answer is yes. We extensively use such things as recruitment, relocation, and retention incentives. We use special rate ranges to attract and retain quality employees that possess mission-critical competencies. So we use all the flexibilities that OPM allows. and we use them very aggressively. The other aspect, too, in mentioning the recruitment strategies, when I first came on board again, and it seems like everything that I've done is being matched by someone else from an initiative standpoint, it's either the president or the OPM. So they're following me extremely well, by the way. But I will tell you, we needed help as far as our recruiting strategies in reference to bringing people on board. Our analysis of the general schedule, the GS classifications, and the hiring of the general schedule employees was that we were exceeding in the neighborhood of 95 days to bring on a general schedule. From a senior executive service on-board process, we were in the neighborhood of 220 days. So can you imagine, we're sitting here trying to compete with the private sector, and a private sector employee that's been offered a job from us for a senior executive service probably has gone to work for three or four companies during that 220-day period. So you can just imagine the talent that we were losing. So what we ended up doing is we sought help from Office of Personnel Management, actually. And they have a process that's called a hiring makeover. We asked them to come in and help us. We're an operational organization, so we don't have that much staff to sit back and assess, analyze. We have to operate an organization at the same time, try to do these assessments. So OPM offered their services. We took advantage. They came in, and it was most beneficial. From a general schedule standpoint, taking a look at what we were doing and how we were bringing people on board, we have now gone down to 38 days in reference to the onboard process for the general schedule, which also helps us as far as going green and maintaining our green status. Also, from the senior executive service standpoint, we've reduced the 220 down to 98 days, and we're on our way to an objective of 45 days. Now, one aspect that we've done just recently is the utilization of USA Staffing. Is USA Staffing is an application of recruitment that also enhances and expedites the process of delegated examining units. So that delegated examining function, which actually rates and ranks applicants and their applications, takes into consideration the preferences and creates a certificate, is done automatically through the automated USA Staffing approach. So that's been most beneficial in impacting what we're doing. Now, we're in the process of rolling that out. We have 800 licenses that we're going to be going after pretty soon through the Office of Personnel Management, which will help us, again, trying to bring that onboard process down to something manageable and therefore not losing the talent as much as we have in the past, and because competition with the private sector is just huge.
How is VA planning for its future staffing needs? We will ask Alan Pittman, Assistant Secretary for Human Resource and Administration and Chief Human Capital Officer at the VA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.